In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN Radio. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Every Saturday morning from 10 to 12, talk about all the great things that are happening in the high school realm, especially in the central section. I do my show from First String Sports in the Letterman's Jacket Room. And I got to tell you, this place was hopping this morning. I get here usually around a little after 9 o'clock when the store opens. They are open from 9 to 5. And within a half an hour, there were no less than four different families getting their Letterman's jackets either fitted or the final touches, figuring out where they want to put their Bible verses on their jacket, where they want their patches. So, yeah, this is definitely the place to be for all your high school sports needs. The only place where you can get your Letterman's jackets, whether you play for Clovis West, Madera, Sanger, Fresno Christian, Edison, Hoover, Central, Kerman, Boulder, Clovis North, all the high schools, they're all represented here. And they'll definitely take care of you. They'll go through all the options for you. So First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. They have been my day one sponsors, and they are definitely invested in the student athletes in the central section. Love these guys. You can follow me on the Twitter machine or the X machine, whatever you want to call it, at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors, or at 1430 ESPN Fresno. Let's go ahead and do the Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. Finally, we're getting out of those 100-degree temperatures. Now it feels like football season, barely last night, right? I had to put on my lightweight jacket at around 8:30, but it's finally here, guys. The weather that we've been waiting for. Currently at 61 degrees, high of 80 today. I looked ahead on my iPhone, and it's going to be like, what, five straight days of 85 degrees next week? One, two, three, four, five. Yeah, five straight days starting on Sunday. And then next Friday, 80 degrees, and then we get into the 70s. So, yep, the morning weather is like it should be in October. Gotta wear your lightweight jacket. Just enough sun in the afternoon. We got the time change, what, November 3rd, I believe, that weekend. So when it gets darker sooner, that's always a big adjustment that we have to make. But, yeah, really excited for these wonderful, wonderful temperatures that we are about to get into. All right, so can you guys believe it? We are only a couple weeks away from knowing who is going to be seated where in the playoffs. Just completed week 9. All the teams have played 8 games so far. So only 2 more regular season games before the playoffs. I think that weather had something to do with how quickly this season has come. Last night, Austin Kemp and I was able to do play-by-play. My buddy Austin Kemp did a great job doing the color. If you guys want to go back and listen to the Clovis East and Clovis game that we did, you can go to 1430ESPNFresno.com under high school and then just find the show. And there it is. You guys can go back and listen to that. So number 1, Clovis East versus number 3, Clovis High. Clovis East 7-0, Clovis 6-1, Clovis coming off of a loss to Clovis North the week before. It was billed as one of the top games, if not the top game so far as the rankings go, in the central section. Clovis East, they're a juggernaut on offense. Clovis, a couple question marks, right, about their defense, about their offensive line. And from the opening drive by Clovis East, I could tell the Clovis East wasn't going to be denied. The score ended up being 52-33. Clovis got a late touchdown. But Clovis East was firing on all cylinders. 7 different guys scored touchdowns. Quarterback Ty Miller, that we've talked a lot about the last 4 years. He's a 4-year starter. He didn't put up gaudy numbers. Only threw 2 touchdowns. But he distributes the ball well. They scored on a 95-yard kickoff return from Harold Duvall. They had been kicking away from Duvall all game. And I don't know if it was a mistake or what. They've been kicking it out of bounds. They don't care. We'll give them the ball at the 35-yard line. But they kicked it the ball, and he streaked down the sideline for a 95-yard touchdown. Electrifying play. They had a 80-yard pick six from Tevion Horton. Three different rushing touchdowns from three different guys. So I don't know. I don't know who's gonna beat these guys. I do know who a great game in a couple weeks. That's going to be Clovis East and Clovis North, the final game of the regular season. So that's going to be a doozy. I anticipate both teams are going to be 4-0 in the track when they get to that point in the season. But, yeah, can't wait to watch that game in a few weeks. And this team is, like I said, firing on all cylinders right now. There's no real weakness with that squad. Maybe the defense, right? Gave up 33 points to a pretty good Clovis offense. But, yeah, they're looking really strong. After the break, I'm going to give some scores and who else is coming on the show. But after the break, Coach Nagel from Clovis East, the head coach, he's coming on the show, and he's going to break down last night's game with me, who are some of the unsung heroes, what's the difference between this team and teams in the past. So excited to talk to Coach Nagel. That will be after the break, right around 10:18 or so, 10:19. There are only now, including Clovis East at 8-0, there's only four teams that are undefeated in the Central Section. Coalinga won last night, Hanford won on Thursday, and McLean Highlanders, for the first time ever, they are 8-0. One of their wins was a forfeit from Sunnyside. They lost the game on the field 13-7. Sunnyside had to forfeit four games due to an ineligible player on varsity. The kid was suiting up in the JV game and then suiting up in the varsity game with a different number. So they got caught, so they got four games, and McLean was the victor in one of them. So they are well on their way to a championship and quite possibly an undefeated season. Bakersfield lost to Bakersfield Christian. They were previously undefeated, 24-23. And Emmanuel fell to CVC 20-7. Emmanuel had only given up two touchdowns all year, and they gave up three last night and lost to CVC. We knew that was going to be a challenge for the undefeated Eagles. But now only four teams are left with a perfect record in the Central Section. All right, so I mentioned the Coach Nagel's coming on the show. After that, then Coach Matt Logue of Sanger, big win last night over Edison, 41-8. They are now 6-2 on the season. At the top of hour number two, got George Takata. He comes on every year, friend of the show. Everybody knows George, right, from his time as a sportscaster. Now he works for Reedley College. He's actually going to be at Reedley College right now, so we're going to do a phone call conversation. They got some events going on. Devontae Adams, right, what's the deal with him? George is a huge Raider fan. I almost said Oakland Raiders. Huge Raiders fan, Las Vegas Raiders. What's going on with Devontae, right? Get some insight into that. The bottom of hour number two, I'm bringing on Josh Mattson. He's kind enough to come on the show. He's the father of McKay Mattson, yes, but we're going to talk about his career. He was a standout athlete at Clovis West, graduated in 1991, took a two-year Mormon mission, and played football at Stanford. Had six career interceptions. He had this wild interception in a bowl game in 1996 in the Sun Bowl game when they whipped Michigan State 38-0. He actually had an interception, lateraled it at the 50-yard line, and let one of his teammates have the glory, and he scored a touchdown. So we're going to talk about what recruitment is like back then, what recruitment has been like with his son. I can't wait to talk to Josh. He is a great, great guy. All right, so let's get to some scores. Thursday night, there are a few games of note. I want to mention in North Yosemite League action that Roosevelt defeated Madera South 44-0. Shafter in the South Sequoia League and Kennedy, that is a rivalry game. Kennedy from Delano. And the Generals came out on top 34-28, so big win for Coach Periucci in that one. And Hanford, one of the few undefeated teams, one of the four undefeated teams, defeated Tulare Western 42-7. Coach Cannon Sanchez doing an amazing job, was able to watch them firsthand whoop up on Tulare last week, 33-8. And just looking at Hanford's schedule, I'm like 99.7% sure that they're going to finish undefeated on the season. All right, in CMAC action, check this out. Bullard, they're playing some really good football. Beat Garza 44-13. The Knights are now 5-3 on the season. Had a few guys become eligible a couple of weeks ago. So they're playing their best football of the season. And San Joaquin Memorial defeated Madera 25-23. Haven't talked a lot about the Panthers this year. Need to give them a little more love. They are 6-2, quietly 6-2 on the season. It's going to set up a huge game next week between Bullard. That game is going to be at San Joaquin Memorial. So that is, that's going to be a great matchup next week. And Sanger, again, we're going to have Coach Matt Logue on around 10:40, defeated Edison 43-8. In East Sequoia League action, Corcoran defeated Rosie 27-14. Orange Cove over Lindsay 21-17. Strathmore over Granite Hills 42-19. And Woodlake got a good team this year, defeated Farmersville 40-0. In East Yosemite action, Golden West over Redwood 23-7. Menachie over Mount Whitney 24-7. And Porterville defeated El Diamante 43-14. In the North Yosemite League action, look at the Patriots. Hoover defeated Matilda Torres by a point, 22-21. So congrats to the Patriots. I mentioned McLean is now 8-0. Well, here's the score, 50-17 over Sanger West. And McLean is consistently putting up 40 to 50 points a game. Chowchilla defeated Minarets in Northwest Sequoia action, 54-20. Chowchilla, 7-1 on the season. I remember talking to the coach. I saw him at the Fresno Fair a couple years ago. Hey, he's like, wait, give us a couple years. We were really young right now, but in a few years, we're going to have a really good team. Well, they put up 54 points over Minaret, so I got to keep an eye out on Chowchilla a little bit more. Fowler defeated Riverdale 26-25. In Southwest Yosemite Mountain League and down in Bakersfield, North defeated East Bakersfield 14-6. Tehachapi over West 49-7. Frontier with a shutout win over Garces 43-0. Liberty of Bakersfield, they're playing some good football right now, too, 38-14 over Centennial. I'll tell you what, nobody's going to want to play Liberty in the first round of the playoffs this year. And Southwest Yosemite Valley action, upset that I mentioned, Bakersfield Christian, coached by Darren Carr and family, defeated Bakersfield 24-23. It texted Coach Carr late last night, and he sent me a snapshot of the box score, and they scored 10 points in the fourth quarter and didn't allow any to Bakersfield, so a comeback win for the Eagles. In Sunset action, Atascadero defeated Rigetti 20-17, Santa Ynez over Pioneer Valley 54-20, and Kingsburg with a nice come-from-behind win in Tri-County action 17-14 at Kerman. Really nice win for Coach Wilson and his crew. Washington Union defeated Reedley 34-31. Going down a little bit. Central defeated Clovis West 45-27. That was a 27-26 game in the fourth quarter. Central scored 19 straight. So Central now 1-2 in the league. Good fight from Clovis West, but not quite enough. Clovis North all over Buchanan 51-14. I might mention, might ask Josh Madsen about that one, see how McKay played. But Clovis North looking really, really strong again. I'm pointing to that final game of the regular season against Clovis East. Kalinga defeated Mendota. There's their 8-0 score right there, 38-14. Fireball defeated Avenel 42-14. And Lemoore, a couple more really quick. Lemoore defeated Dinuba 52-20. Tulare Union over Mission Oak 42-0. Central Valley Christian over Emmanuel 27, like I mentioned. And a final one here, Stockdale defeated Ridgeview 21-19. So there's a snapshot of the games played in the last couple days. We're going to be talking with Clovis East head coach Brandon Nagel after the break. You're listening to 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. Listening to it on 1430 ESPN. Last night we were able to broadcast Clovis East and Clovis, a 52-33 win from the Timberwolves. You guys can go back to the 1430 ESPN website and listen to that game. We got Coach Brandon Nagel on the line right now. They are now 8-0 on the season, 3-0 in track. They've scored in a plethora of ways last night. So, Coach, your team just continues to pound out wins. It's been about 12 hours since the end of that game. What most impressed you last night about your squad's performance?
I thought just the way we played three phases of the game. I think we had a defensive touchdown, a return touchdown. We ran the ball for a touchdown. We threw the ball for a touchdown. And, I was really proud of that because we preached that all week. And so I think that was it's only been 12 hours, but that's in my mind, that's what I'm most proud of.
Well, yeah, you're exactly right, and that was actually one of my next points. So you did score. Several different guys scored. Obviously, Ty Miller had two touchdown passes, but three by the ground by three different guys: Lindsey Graves, Tyrone Bishop, and Caleb Slocum. The two passes from Ty Miller, like I mentioned, one to Harold Duvall and one to your sophomore Jamie Spurgeon, and then that kickoff return by Harold, and then a 80-yard pick six from Horton. I mean, you preached it all week. Is this probably the most balanced win of the season? Balanced, what I mean, like you guys were just clicking in on all those phases. This is probably like the total game. You know, giving up those 33 points was, maybe an anomaly, but was this the most complete game you guys have played?
Yeah, I thought so. We could have fixed some things on defense, and they did a great job of outflanking us. But yeah, I was really proud. I just thought the guys were – I thought we practiced well. I thought everything about their preparation this week was everything that I wanted, and I think the coaching staff did a great job getting them prepared. And so, yeah, I was really pleased with the way they played last night.
All right, so what do you think was the turning point in that game? You guys did go up 14-0. Clovis answered with a Merrill 56-yard touchdown run. Then Miller passed to Spurgeon. I thought that – play. I don't know if that was necessarily a turning point. I felt like all game, and you could correct me if I want wrong, but you and Coach Hunter, the offensive coordinator, you guys were just trying to find matchups. You were putting Duvall in a couple of different spots. You moved your big 6'4" sophomore tight end that caught that pass, put him over the top. Was that kind of like the game plan?
Yeah,
finding those matchups.
We're always looking for matchups on offense. Running the ball and throwing the ball. I was super proud of the offense. I just thought they did a good job, and I think we punted once, and we knew we were going to need to score a lot of points to win that game. And so, if there's one point, it really was just the offense was clicking last night.
Yeah, I agree. You say one point, one punt. I don't think I can't remember a single punt, but maybe there was one snuck in there. But yeah, you guys were clicking on offense, and I mentioned. Harold Duvall's 95-yard kickoff, and then he had a touchdown catch as well. This is the fourth time I've been able to watch you guys coach, and last night I felt like Harold played with a purpose. His routes were crisp. He's basically a dog out there. Is that a safe assumption that was Harold's best game of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. He always seems to show up when the lights are bright, and you could just see it in his eyes in the pregame. And, last week he had to play a little bit of both ways, which, that's really hard in high school. And so this week we wanted to make an effort to really just let him focus on special teams and offense. Obviously it was his best performance of the year.
And we were surprised that they finally kicked to him. As I mentioned it in my opener, I was like, oh, they haven't kicked deep all game. They just kicked it out of bounds, including the punts. But there, the ball found him, and sure enough, he ran it in from 95 yards out. All right, so let's talk about your quarterback. And I know you've been talking about him for a long time because he's a special player. He's a four-year guy. He's never missed a game. One of the many things I appreciate about Ty is – he doesn't have to put up gaudy stats, right? He just wants to win football games. He's in control of the offense. He makes great reads. He obviously throws a pretty football. So does that dude ever get rattled? Like, do you ever see him like you got to calm him down at all, or is he just composed the entire time?
Yeah, I think he gets excited. He just wants to win so bad. And sometimes I think he just gets too excited. That's about it. But, yeah, he's composed. He loves it. He just wants to win. He can throw for 400 yards. He can throw for 100. He doesn't care. He just wants that W. And he's the first guy to shake everybody's hands and all those things. So couldn't be more proud of the leader he is.
This is one of the reasons why Clovis East is 8-0 on the season, talking with head coach Brandon Nagel. Let's talk about Lindsey Graves a bit. He's not only explosive, but he can put his head down. He made a couple really nice runs last night. He scored the first touchdown of the game. Just talk about his development from last year as a sophomore. And I know this year, you guys, you know, you're not giving the ball 20 times. I don't think he's had 20 carries this year. So keeping him fresh. But what about Lindsey Graves does he bring to the program? How impressed are you by his improvement?
It's just all the work he does during the week. And I think he wants to get better every week. He was really not happy the way he ran the ball last week. And so this week, I think he just all week he wanted to make a conscious effort and making the right reads and finishing runs. And so, that was the talk all week. We needed to run the football, and he took ownership of that.
He certainly did. We love to talk about TDs, right? Us guys on the radio and the media and touchdowns and highlight plays. And do you believe that your defense is a little bit underrated? I know you got some dudes out there. Number 9 is a beast, and you got some other guys. You feel like your team, your defensive team, that squad that you send out there is a little bit underrated?
Yeah, I mean, we like it that way. Not a lot of people talk about our defense. We run a high-tempo offense, so our defense has got to play, you know, a lot of snaps, and we like it that way. And we just fly under the radar, and our kids kind of have that chip on their shoulder, and it kind of motivates them each week. And so, I definitely think that we have a really good defense.
So I mentioned number 9, Josh, but who are some other studs? Yeah. Who are some other studs on the defense that stepped up this year?
Caleb Solis, number 58. We have Jack Nelson, number 44. We had O'Shea Webb, you know, get the 80-yard pick for a touchdown. We got a lot of good dudes. There's just a lot of guys that want to work hard, and they, we work on communication and all those things. And so, with Jack Koontz, I mean, man, we got a really good defense.
I agree. And they look like a strong defensive unit, right? You look out there, you're like, yeah, there are some physically fit dudes out there. All right, so, you know, I know your staff really well. We've had a good relationship over the last few years. I've been to a few practices, and you guys as a staff, you guys are all gas, man. You rarely break. I've seen it with my own eyes. These next two games, you got Buchanan and then Clovis North on the schedule. How do you manage a football season, right? Your guys are 8-0. You guys have some lofty goals in mind, but as a staff, like, how do you know when to really push the team, especially at this point in the season, and when to kind of let off a little bit?
I think it's tough. It's week to week. It's really, the track is about attrition, like being healthy and those things. So we make sure we monitor that, but you also don't want to, you know, kind of soften up and not go as hard in practice. So it's a fine balance, and I think they do a good job. Every day we talk about practice and how it's going to go, and every day we meet as a staff and just, hey, how do we want to do it today? Hey, we got some guys banged up. Hey, let's do this today. And so we just do a good job of adapting to the day, you know, who's banged up, what's going on, and we kind of get a feel of the team, and then we have our practice, you know. We basically plan our practice according to that.
When you have a big game, coach, like last night, like, how easy or difficult is it to fall asleep on Friday nights? Are you one of these guys that's still jazzed up? You get straight to the film session, you want to watch a few things, or are you able to decompress a bit and fall asleep pretty easy?
Yeah. The coach is already back on it. kids are resting today. Depending on the game, how physical it is, we kind of, you know, determine our Saturdays off of that. So today they're resting after a big physical game, but coach is already back at work. I mean, we don't stop going. You know, we enjoy it for about 5 hours, and then we're on to the next. So that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's definitely your MO. All right, coach. So one more question here. What do you mentioned that you're giving the guys a little bit of a break. So what do you got going on Saturday and Sunday? You'll be able to relax a bit, watch some football on TV, and maybe break down game film.
Absolutely. Yeah. My wife has a work event, and hang out with the kids. You know, I let my coaches see their kids on Saturdays, and it's a long season. So I hope that all my coaches hang out with their family, and I'm going to hang out with my family and watch film all day and get ready, and then get back to the grind tomorrow.
Absolutely. All right. So Clovis East 8-0 on the season. Their last two games are Buchanan away at Veterans, and then a home game against Clovis North at Delmonico Stadium at Tim Simons Field. So, Coach, always great to catch up with you. I appreciate you. Great game last night, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. All right, that was Coach Brandon Nagel of Clovis East. We're going to take a break here, and then we're going to have Sanger. Matt Logue, the Apaches are 6-2 after a win over Edison last night. We haven't talked to Matt Logue this year, so looking forward to that. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back, Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I think that was a rather clever song to have Coach Matt Logue from Sanger on the show right now. Apaches are 6-2 after defeating Edison last night, 3-0 in the CMAC. So, Coach, how you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing great. All right, so what do you got going this morning? Light workout, you guys catching some film, you got school, you at home. What's going on this morning?
I'm just at home. We don't do anything with our guys on the weekend. We let them get a couple days away. Just start on film and getting ready for Madera and all that. So for next week, and kids got soccer and all that type of stuff. You know, you got to do as a dad and stuff as well.
All right. So you got soccer going on. So do you already go to soccer? Are you already back for a break?
No,
you got to go back for some more.
It's actually this afternoon, but one of our coaches is getting. Imaela, one of our coaches, is getting married today, so I'm gonna head towards soccer and then go to his wedding, and then we'll kind of see where the day goes from there.
All right, that sounds like a good day. I remember those morning soccer games going with my daughters and watching them play, and like, you know, obviously you being a head coach, that's, you put in a lot of work. And but I tell you what, you got to savor those moments, man. Those are moments you can't get back. And I know you, family is definitely a priority for you. So good job by you giving your coaches some rest too. All right, so I want to talk about last night's football game. Going in against Edison, we know Edison hasn't won a game this year. You know, you guys beat them 43-8. So how well did they execute the game plan last night, your guys?
Honestly, I don't think we played to our full potential. I mean, it was 43-8, but it was, I mean, our starters played almost the whole game, and you know, we had to work hard to get the 43, and you know, it just right now I don't feel like we've put a whole four quarter game together. Really, we've had a lot of games where teams are right in it, and we either pull away late or we're ahead, and then we let them creep back into it, and. You know, we got a lot of work still cut out, you know, to get where we really want to get. You know, our league, you know, the two teams left are both very good. And, you know, I feel like we need to do a better job executing. I do got to give Edison credit. I mean, to be Owen, whatever it is, their kids were still fighting. So you got to give them credit. They were fighting and playing as hard as they could. You know, obviously they're struggling, but you know, I think we still got a long ways to go to play to our full potential.
Yeah, I was glad you gave a little shout-out to Edison. They've had a rough season. They had a lot of guys that transferred out. So, yeah, good on those kids for not giving up until the end. So who were some stars last night? You mentioned you wanted some stuff cleaned up, but who were some guys that stood out and did well?
Well, obviously, Bryson Baker is always a guy who stands out. We call him Money, but Caden McGrew ran the ball really hard. Also is a starting corner for us, who's a younger brother. Kendall McGrew is our fullback linebacker. They both had big games for us as well. You know, our O-line, you know, we were trying to throw the ball at times and get, you know, they were playing some one-on-one with Baker, and we struggled to connect on some passes. You know, the whole line, we blocked and we ran the ball really well. Offensively, we performed better than defensively. Defensively, we let them sustain some longer drives, which I really didn't expect. You know, and so, you know, that's kind of where I was talking about a lot of our improvement needs to happen. But, you know, those guys all made plays for us. We, you know, and again, the O-line just, you know, paving the way for those three guys mainly. Elias Gonzalez, who's a sophomore, plays outside linebacker, had to step in. One of our other key guys, Jacob Niemeyer, had went down last night. So he got some carries and made some big runs for us and had to block and all that. So overall, it was a pretty good group effort.
So the McGrew brothers, you mentioned them. I believe they each scored two touchdowns. So one's a senior and one's a sophomore, right? How is it coaching those two guys? How well do those guys get along?
One's a junior and one's a sophomore.
There you go. Okay.
They're great. They're awesome kids. They're quiet kids, but they work really hard. They do everything you ask of them. You know, they're team players. They're very good football players. They're athletic. They're both, you know, two-way starters for us, which, you know, a lot of our guys play both sides of the ball. So, you know, obviously the future is very bright for both of them. They're both, you know, like we said, one of them has one more year and one of them has two more years. So they're kind of funny, though. They live in the same house. And last year we had Kendall up as a freshman for a little bit, and literally they wouldn't even, like, come to football together. One of them would, like, walk with his friends, and the other one would get a ride. And it's like, well, do you guys even talk? Your brothers, and you live in the same house. So, you know, it's funny this day and age. I think phones and all that type of stuff, you know. But it's funny because when they get on the field, they have this connection where they'll celebrate together, whatever. But they don't hang out and talk a whole lot outside of football, I don't think, to be honest.
Oh, that's awesome. And you mentioned the Bryson Baker here. He's a three-star guy. He recently picked up an offer from Michigan State, does have that Fresno State offer as well. We saw him make that incredible catch down the sidelines a few weeks ago, just a diving catch, and I'm sure he has a highlight like that on every game. So where does Bryson shine most on the field for you guys? Like where is he the most valuable?
Honestly, it might be as a decoy. You know, obviously we know how good he is with the ball in his hands and all the plays he can make, but I mean, when you're the other team, you have to account for him on every single play. And, we use him all the time in motion and different things, you know, cause you know, there's about 22 eyes on him over there. So, you know, he's an ultimate team player. The last 2 years, you know, he's being recruited as a wide receiver, and you know, we've struggled to throw him the ball at times. And, you know, he's played running back way more than he's played receiver the 3 years that we've had him. And he's never complained. He's always worked his tail off and just does everything we ask of him. But, you know, obviously on defense, too, he travels usually with the other team's best receiver and covers the best receiver the whole game. So he's just a special generational, you know, not the type of guy you get to coach very often. I'm just lucky to get to coach him, and he's such a great kid, and, you know, all that on top of it. And he did, I don't know if he had picked up even more recent than Michigan State, Utah, UCLA offers, and he's actually in Utah right now today on an official visit. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, so that's Bryson Baker. So what, like, has there been a play that he's made either in practice or in a game that just kind of wowed you? Like, you were a fan, you're like, oh my gosh, how did he do that? Or are you just like so focused on the game that you're like, oh yeah, that's Bryson, we expect him to make those plays. But has there been like an aha, a wow play that he's made?
Yeah, there's been multiple of them. I think it's a thing he, like, I don't know, this year wanted to try to do. I've seen him like at least 4 or 5 times this year literally hurdle people who are standing like almost straight up in the air. He did it in practice in a tackling drill. He did it in our inner squad scrimmage. He's done it a couple times in games, and it's just – it's like it's not normal to see someone do that and just, like, out of nowhere. There's a couple – the last couple weeks where he just literally, like, stopped on a dime and backed up and then accelerated with 4 to make a guy miss. He just – he does you know, he does a lot of special things. So it's it you do kind of get, like I don't know what the word is, like,
just awestruck. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's like, oh, it's Bryson. Yeah, he does stuff like that. But when you're like, that's not normal, you know. So sometimes those coaches on the head says, like, that's not normal, you know. So it's pretty special, like I said, to get to watch him every day and coach him.
Is there a good comparable player out there, maybe a guy in the NFL or college that people are familiar with? I mean, obviously there's Jalen Moreno Cropper, who starred at Sanger, and you know what he did at the next level at Fresno State on Dallas's practice squad right now. But is there somebody you could compare him to, like athletically or out there on the field?
I mean, I don't want to. I mean, this is like you know, obviously for people listening, I'm not trying to say he's arrived or done this or anything like, but just in the way that the guy does everything and he's physical and tough, like a Debo type guy, Debo Samuel, like he can do everything, and he's physical. He's hard to bring down. He blocks. He can catch. He can run. He does everything. And you know, to me, that's kind of the first guy that pops in my mind, just especially because the physical nature of him, especially this year. I mean, you watch him block, and he's driving guys into the ground and driving guys, you know, 5 yards into the end zone when he's blocking for other guys. And, you know, it's just, again, speaks volumes of the type of character and player and teammate he is.
Yeah, and that's awesome to hear, because we've all seen kids that get scholarship offers and get a lot of love in the media, and their senior year, for whatever reason, they kind of, you know, they think they have it all together, and they don't do those little things that you just said that Bryson Baker does, blocking downfield, you know, used as a decoy. He's okay with those types of things. So I think that speaks a lot about his character too.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's honestly one of the first things I tell every coach that calls and talk about him, is just the unselfishness and the way he's able to be coached. And, you know, he doesn't get mad. He doesn't get sad if the quarterback misses a throw. He doesn't throw a fit. You know, he just goes about business. And, you know, again, like you just said, to me, it just speaks about the type of young man and the character and the kid he is.
Talking with Matt Logue, the head coach at Sanger High School. All right, so who are some other guys? So we've mentioned Baker, the McGrew brothers. You mentioned Niemeyer, and it might sound like he got a little banged up, so hopefully he's okay. So who are some other dudes that have stepped up for you guys this year?
We got a couple of DBs. Ace Escalera, he tore his ACL last year. And it was a long process for him to come back. And over the summer, he had a couple setbacks, and he was kind of a starter at one point, and he just had to work his way back in the lineup. But since about, I don't know, I think week two or three, he's been a mainstay in the secondary, and he's done a really good job for us. Jonathan Castrejon, who's our other safety, last year was an outside linebacker, and we had moved him to safety this year, and he's done a good job. Trying to think, I always forget to bring him up, but he's one of the most important parts of our team. Cody Coles, who's our tight end and our defensive end, returning all week guy, just an absolute stud. Again, talk about, you know, the character of a kid, just one of the, you know, those type of kids that you love coaching football for, just does everything the right way. He finally got his first, he's been playing tight end for 2.5 years, and I think he finally got his first catch and touchdown catch last week. He had about a 50, 60-yard touchdown catch. And just so happy for a kid like that to, you know, who all he ever does is block for us and play DN and in the trenches. It doesn't get very much recognition. Just, you know, a phenomenal kid, and does everything for us. I obviously, everyone knows about John Ybarra, who's another three-star, committed to Cal Poly. You know, his play always speaks for itself. And, you know, we got a bunch of other lineman guys who, you know, I could name them all. Jordan Guzman, our center, who was all-league player last year. Raymundo Munoz, who's our nose guard and guard, two-way guy. He's about 5'6", 170 pounds maybe, and is in there taking on double teams and moving guys that are twice his size. Just, you know, the definition of a Sanger banger football player, you know. So, there's a lot of them, you know, they all step up and have to at times. And, you know, I wish they all got all the recognition, you know, that Bryson Baker gets, but, you know, he wouldn't be able to do half the things he does without some of these other guys.
Absolutely. Well, you're giving them some love right there. So it's good to hear about all the kids that make this team what they are this year. Again, Sanger Apaches are 6-2 on this season. So coach, believe it or not, right, we're only two more weeks of high school football before the playoffs begin. I was looking at the Cal Preps rankings right now. So currently, overall, you guys are 11, which would mean there's one team in D3 ahead of you. That's Bakersfield Christian, who had that big win last night against Bakersfield.
Yeah,
so you guys would be the 2 seed in the second bracket, so to speak, in the Division I playoffs, Division I A, Division AA. Like, what are the pros and cons of splitting that up? Like, do you like it? I remember your playoff game last year against Clovis East was an instant classic. It was an epic game. Those are the types of games, the competitive equity, right, so to speak, is what they're trying to bring about in Division I. But do you like what they did, or you just have some questions about it, or you don't care? Hey, we'll play whoever we want to play. So what's your opinion on the D1 being split up?
I'm not a big fan of just this whole playoff system in general, in my opinion. Like, to me, we're a D2 school. We should be D2. We shouldn't ever be D3. We shouldn't ever be D1, in my opinion, especially with the split with the new high school. I mean, Sanger has a tradition of having great football, and I feel like sometimes, but it's just to compete on a weekly basis, with those, the top schools, it's a gauntlet to go through. And, we get one injury, and it's a major loss for us. We're, but I'm, everyone's going through the same thing. To me, the 1A, 1AA split, you might as well just call 1-1 and 1-2 and then move 2-3 and all that. But again, like you said, we have no control over it. So there's no point in crying and whining about it. It is who it is. It is what it is. We get placed where we place, and we got to play who we got to play. And that's kind of how we take it. I mean, I have my own personal feelings about it, but that doesn't really matter. No one cares. So we just, we got to play who we got to play, and we just try to get our kids ready and get them in that mindset that, we just got to take care of what we got to take care of. It drives me crazy. Me and some of my coaches talk all the time, and every week you're watching the scores, and I've never in my life thought as a coach I would at times be like, well, maybe if we lose that game, it might be better for us, and it's just like, it's stupid that, and I talk to coaches in other sports too, basketball, baseball, and everyone thinks the same thing, and it's just, it just seems like there's got to be something better than what we got going on. But again, I have no control over it. So we just, we got to play who we got to play,
my
opinion on it.
Absolutely. That is a very, very fair assessment of that. You can look at it this way. Clovis East is a base Division II, and right now they are the number one team in the Central Section. You think of your school, Sanger, you think of Tulare Union, you think of even Hanford. Those teams, to me, those schools, are the epitome of what Division II is, right? Even Aurora Grande at the coast, Centennial of Bakersfield. To me, that's like the true Division II. Agree?
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I don't understand what was so wrong with in the past. If you had a couple good teams and then you got bumped up after that and you maybe won a title, then, you deal with it. And then maybe after a couple years, you go back down. It comes in cycles for most of us schools. Not everyone is just reloads every year, and it's just tough when you're, look at it too. Like, okay, Edison's a D1 school. Like, what are we doing? Are they really a D1 school? I mean, they maybe used to be, but they're not right now. And it's, like you said. So
The ebbs and flows, right, of every school. There's, you think of SoCal and their private schools. They just reload, right? They just get players and dudes, even NorCal, the De La Salles. They just get the best of the best. But our top teams are our public schools here, at least in football. So there's lots to be said about that. All right, Coach, we got you for another couple minutes here. So next week, you're playing Madera. You're playing Coach Kenny Palinelli's team. You know how tough those guys are. So when you look across the way and you see Coach Palinelli and you're matched up against them, what type of game can you expect?
Well, it's gonna be a physical game. I mean, I got to give Coach a lot of credit. The last 2 years, especially, their run game has been really, really good. They do a great job of getting those guys up front to be physical and move guys, whether, they're going to dig you out and do all the things they do. They the quarterback's very, very good as well. He's crafty. He can kind of do a lot of things, running and passing. The backs run hard. So we're going to have our hands full. They're a good football team. They're coached well. We're at home. So hopefully that gives us a little advantage. We'll see the. It's not going to be an easy one, that's for sure. I think it's going to be a battle.
I agree wholeheartedly. Oh, I got another minute here with you, Coach. So we were able to broadcast game against Clovis East a few weeks ago, and I had to do my duty and go to the chuck wagon there and get myself a couple chili cheese dogs for only $5, man. I was so happy that the price point is still very affordable in this crazy day and age of inflated prices. So, I mean, that's a staple of Sanger, right? I mean, is that something you grew up on and go to quite often still?
Well, I literally got it last weekend, I think, but I hadn't got it. I'm not originally from Sanger, so I didn't grow up on it. But when I came to Sanger and was introduced to it, I mean, yeah, chuck wagon is that's definitely a staple. Everyone comes and people drive across town to check it out. And you know, when like you get college coaches coming to see a kid or something, it's like, hey, any special places? You know, that's where we send them. And you know, it is nice that it's pretty affordable. Some of these places are crazy. We had food trucks and stuff at the high school yesterday, and $15 for a chicken sandwich. So it is nice to be able to get a chili cheese dog for, you know,
for five bucks.
Under, you know,
absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree.
That's a great place. So
I agree 100%. All right, Coach Logue, thank you for joining us. Always fun to catch up with you. Good luck the rest of the way and have a great weekend.
All right. You take it easy. Thanks for having me.
All right, you bet. That was Matt Logue of Sanger. We got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to get George Takata on the phone. Love talking with George. We got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. Listening to Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon on the east side of Blackstone. They've been my day one sponsors. I've done many shows here in the Letterman's Jacket Room. It's changed a little bit. I remember my very first show, I was actually up against the west wall. Now I'm facing north, and so I'm able to look out there and see all the customers and see all the great merchandise here at First String Sports. Letterman's Jacket's behind me. Obviously, you guys can't see this. You're on the radio. I do have some Facebook people that watch the show live there. ESPN Radio 1430 sign behind me, First String Sports. Awesome people. There's been people in and out buying stuff, getting their Letterman's jackets fitted and customized and all the great things that they do here at First String Sports. So big shout out to them. If you guys miss any part of the show or any shows on 1430 ESPN, I know behind the bench, Phil Bonatti. Phil was out all this week. He's attending a wedding in Boston. And so I was able to do play-by-play last night with Austin Kemp, the Clovis East 52-33 win over Clovis High. But you guys can go back and listen to that game as well. Just go to 1430, check it out under Friday Night Lights. It'll be right there with all the other games too. So we'll be back on track with Phil Bonatti next week. We're like 90% sure, and I didn't mention this to Coach Matt Logue when he was on just before we went to commercial, that we're planning on doing that Madera and Sanger game back at Sanger. So I mentioned Chuck Wagon and their world-famous food, those chili cheese dogs that are remarkable. So, yeah, I kind of pushed for that game just so I have an excuse to go to Chuck Wagon. You have to. The French fries are good. Everything's good there. So, yeah, looking forward to that next week. So, again, thank you guys for listening. Appreciate it. We're actually having some trouble getting a hold of George Takata. The guy is a busy guy. Always want him on the show. He's like, yeah, Paul, I could come on, but we're doing some stuff in Reedley. So I think they might have a football game today. So once we get a hold of George, we'll be able to talk with him about a bunch of topics, including Fresno State, his Raiders, what's going on with those guys, Devontae, maybe even a little bit about basketball. I know Fresno State basketball is going to ramp up here. Coach Vance Wahlberg taking over. It's a huge deal. Nobody will outwork Coach Vance Wahlberg. A guarantee. When I congratulated him on getting the gig, he said, thanks, Paul. He said, nobody will outwork me and my staff. So you can guarantee that. All right, so Coach Logue brought up some very interesting points about the playoff system. And it's always a talking point. Football, basketball, baseball, right? The three main sports, softball. What is a perfect system? Well, you guys know there's no perfect system, except maybe the NCAA men's college basketball tournament, March Madness. That might be the perfect system. But for high school sports, things could be subjective. I try to be as objective as possible. So they're going by these computer rankings on calpreps.com. So I'm just going to go through, explain a little bit more if you're unfamiliar, because, again, playoffs are going to be starting here in a few weeks, two more weeks, and then playoffs. The seedings usually come out on that Saturday, usually around 3 o'clock, sometimes 4 o'clock, because there's some tiebreaker rules if teams are close to each other, head-to-head, point. The strength of schedule that goes into the computer ranking. So Clovis East is number one, and they are a base Division II team. They're the best team in the Central Section. Could be an argument for Clovis North the way they are playing right now, but they're 8-0, undefeated. They are tops here on Cal Preps, and unless they lose to Clovis North in that last week, right, they're going to stay there as the number one team in the top division in Division I Central Section playoffs. Clovis North is currently number two, 6-2 on the season. Clovis High, they stayed the same. And these have been updated. I hit the refresh button, and these have all been updated. So Clovis High is still the number three team at 6-2 in the Cal Preps rankings. They're Central. Had a comeback last night against Clovis West. They scored 19 points in the fourth quarter. Central at number five. And then there's Hanford. Sorry, Central at number four. Hanford at number five, 8-0. 99% sure they're going to go undefeated. They're going to win their next two games of the season. They're going to be in that top bracket, guys. And like Coach Logue was arguing, Sanger, Madera, Tulare Union, to me, those are Division II type teams. But they're going to be in the Division I. Probably, well, Hanford, if they win out, which they should, they're going to be the number five seed in the top division. Tulare Union is number six. To me, that's too high. I saw Hanford pretty much dismantle them last week, 33-8. And I've seen the Liberty of Bakersfield's play. I haven't seen Bakersfield High. I've seen Buchanan. I've seen Sanger. I've seen Clovis West. I think all those teams, honestly, if I'm being honest, would beat Tulare. And right now, Tulare is base D2, meaning that they're going to be moved up to Division I. All right? Again, you could go up a division, down a division, whatever base you're set at. Then there's Liberty of Bakersfield. They're 5-3. They do have those three losses. They have one to Buchanan. All right? But Liberty is ahead of Buchanan right now, so they're going to have to sort that up. But Liberty of Bakersfield, 5-3. They are currently number seven. There's Bakersfield, 8, suffered their first loss yesterday to Bakersfield Christian, who is 9. So that can't happen. So that's going to be flipped in the next couple of weeks. But actually, nope, I'm wrong there. Bakersfield Christian is a base D3 team. So they can only go up to Division II. So right now, Bakersfield Christian looking really strong to be the number one seed in Division II. There's Buchanan at number 10. They are base D1. They'll be in D1. And then there's Sanger, base D2 at number 11. Then you have Clovis West, 12. Frontier, 13. Aurora Grande, 14. Golden West, a base D3 team. So it looks like they'd be, if they held on, they'd be the number two seed in Division II, having a great season at 7-1. And then there's the curious case of Sunnyside High School. Currently at number 16, and officially here on Cal Preps, they have a record of 3-4. All four of those losses are by forfeit. So on the field, you could say that they are undefeated, right? But they are not. And actually, I don't think they have the score put in there, because they still have them at 3-4. I don't know their score last night against Fresno High. I think the predictive score was like 53-0. So if they played that game yesterday, I'm sure Sunnyside got the win. 17, San Joaquin Memorial. They are base D1 at 6-2. So most likely they're going to be in that second division of Division I. San Joaquin Memorial, Rich Tooman taking over the program. They're playing really good as of late. Centennial is at 18. Central Valley Christian base D3 is at 19. And there's Bullard, base D1 at 5-3, but 20th right now. They're on that bubble to be in the bottom of Division One or a top seed in Division Two. All right, let me look at Bullard's final two games here. So they got that matchup next week against San Joaquin Memorial, and they have they finished with Edison at home. So Bullard playing really good football right now, but they are in the bubble, whether or not it can be Division One or Division Two. Then you got Tulare Western, Porterville, Shafter, who is a base D5 team, and then Lemoore, and then Highland of Bakersfield. So there is a tiny bit of a breakdown of what playoffs could look like. Again, two more weeks when this all shakes out. The CIF Central Section Committee will be looking at this and looking at the tiebreakers again, right? So if you got Liberty and Buchanan that are close and the computer is showing that Liberty is ahead of Buchanan, you can't do that. Right, because Buchanan beat Liberty, and that's one of the tiebreakers. One of the things that the selection committee looks at before they make the final brackets. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to see if we could get a hold of George Takata. If not, we'll be talking some more high school football and all those fun things that are happening around the Central Section. We'll return more Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. We're going to have to wait a while on George Takata. That guy is super, super busy right now. He's gonna owe me, so we're going to get him on here in a couple weeks. And I mentioned that Josh Madsen was coming on the show at the bottom of the hour, and look who's here early, right? I mean, you come in early, Josh. You know, you're well-prepared. You're coming off of a shift at the hospital right now. And, right, God works in mysterious ways. So here you are jumping on a little bit early to talk about, you know, your son and your time and your daughter a little bit and your time at Clovis West and playing at Stanford. So thanks for coming in, man. You had to work some things around to make it here. I love it.
Oh, it's great, Paul. Thank you. This is a treat. This is an honor to chat with you on the radio for a little bit.
Well, and you said that this is like your first time ever doing something like this. So at your time at Stanford, like you do little interviews after the game and whatnot, but not like a real sit-down conversation.
Not anything this fancy or formal. This is awesome.
All right, so your son McKay had a game last night. He's a 3-star guy. Should be a 4-star guy. Come on, 3 stars. But he's got multiple scholarship offers. You played at Clovis West, graduated in 1991, then played at Stanford. I didn't have any eyes on the sky at last night's game. So 51-14 was the final, Clovis West. What did you see from the Broncos last night? How did they perform?
Really well. Complete game, both sides of the ball. Kicking game was fantastic. You know, I think our kicker put it at the goal line or 7 yards deep every kickoff. The offense was rolling. I think the offensive line is really gelling right now. And they're, you know, that ground game at North is formidable, and I would put it up against anyone right now to try to stop it.
Is it safe to say that the Clovis North's playing their best football of the season, right? I mean, those two losses to SoCal, Los Alamitos, and Jay Serra. But health-wise, execution-wise, is kind of like they're playing their best football, right?
They're peaking at the right time. Yeah, Coach Jaycott is a phenomenal coach. Vince Brandstetter, offensive coordinator, amazing. Great coaching staff, and they have the boys prepared and playing good ball right now.
I saw highlights on ABC Friday night. Lights, they do a great job capturing all the highlights. McKay really makes some crazy diving interception. Did I see that right? Number three?
He did. He had two picks okay. Last night. So let me just say, the local sports media does a fantastic job highlighting these student-athletes in the Valley. You're at the top of the list. The local TV, you know, 3 stations are at most games getting video and highlights, and I think it's awesome for these young men to come home after a game, watch the news, and say, hey, these are my teammates, this was a great team win. It's to highlight the student athletes up and down the valley as you do it is phenomenal. So thank you for all you do.
And you know, high school is a special time, right? And I loved my time at high school, playing sports, the bus trips, the practices, right? The, you know, yelling at each other, you know, during games or at practices, but you're still best friends with the guys. And, you know, just all the floods of memories that come back after you leave high school, right? There's nothing quite like the high school experience, right? 99% of the people that play, the kids that play high school sports, don't go on and play in college. So that's kind of it, you know, save from some recreation softball or basketball leagues and, you know, different plays, that, different ways they can still be involved. But there's something special about high school. Josh, and I want to go back to kind of your time growing up and playing sports. You come from an athletic family, obviously. 1991, doesn't that seem like a long time ago?
Paul, it's a long time ago.
It's what are you talking? So 24 years back to 2020, that's kind of how I do my Common Core math, right? And then 9 more years. So 31 years ago?
33.
So I'm off?
33 years.
Yeah, 33, you're right. All right, so 33 years ago. I mean, does it seem that long? I mean,
tells me that most mornings, but my mind, you know, I have the best job on Friday nights. I'm the team physician for Clovis North football, so I get the best seat in the house on the sidelines. So you still are involved in the chatter on the field, the emotions of the players, the, you know, ups and downs of the game, and it's the best team sport that exists to teach young men how to deal with adversity and celebrate and play as a team.
And because you're literally putting your bodies on the line for each other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's blood, sweat, and tears. And that's what builds character in these young men. And I love it.
So growing up, were you a Clovis Unified kid through and through? Like, where'd you go to elementary school and junior high? And then obviously Clovis West. So growing up.
Born and raised in Clovis. My dad was a farm manager in Madera, but chose to live at Fowler and Shepherd. My parents still live there. Moved there in 1978, still in the same home. And so I went to Dry Creek Elementary. It was the only country school at the time. So I had best friends that lived at Herndon and McCall. And, you know, we rode our bicycles lots of miles along the canals back then. Mom just said, hey, come home by dinner time. And we spent a lot of time outdoors riding our bicycles. But went to Dry Creek, and so half of my class went to Kasner and half went to Clark. That was just how it broke up in terms of geography. Based on where we lived, the west side of Fowler, we went to Kasner Intermediate. 7th and 8th grade at Kasner, and then that fit into Clovis West. So a lot of my best friends from elementary went to Clovis High, and so growing up playing against them for the next 6 years was a lot of great memories.
You mentioned get on your bikes, drive through the, you know, by the canals, you know, do some crazy
orchards as far as you could see back then. And now it's being replaced by homes, and it's just, it's different. Fowler is a major thoroughfare now for a lot of the families that live at Hartlett Ranch, but it was country living back then, and it was awesome.
Would you guys, throw the football around and play tackle football back then, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I grew up five boys, one girl in my family. So oldest brother, football and wrestling. My sister came next. She was involved in other school activities, didn't do any sports. And then myself and three younger brothers who all did every sport imaginable that was offered in elementary school. So, younger brother did track at BYU, and another brother played football at Fresno State. So a lot of good memories playing wiffle ball and tackle football in the backyard.
Wiffle ball, tackle. Were you the type of siblings that would, you know, beat each other up a little bit and cry and hide from mom or
when needed? But a lot of good times.
What was football like always your main sport, or did you just kind of shift it out that way?
Yeah, I grew up playing a lot of soccer. I love soccer, and then basketball was actually my first love in high school. Played for Steve Cleveland my sophomore year at Clovis West. And then a young coach came in from the Bay Area, Vance Wahlberg.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
My junior and senior year at Clovis West, and he was demanding. I love the man to this day. You know, he's done wonderful things for the Valley in terms of basketball, but certifiably crazy back then.
Yeah.
But got the most out of his team. Football-wise, Max Newberry was the head coach of Clovis West, legendary coach for years. Stepped down after my junior year, and then Mike Churchill came in for 1 year from Riverside. Brought the wing tee to the Valley. And so I think we surprised a lot of teams our senior year with not great size or talent, but you know, we're able to win a lot of games my senior year.
And you off air, you mentioned your senior year, you guys lost to Bakersfield. And at your senior year, what were you like weight-wise? Because you said you were one of the biggest guys. 6'2", 190. And yeah. You were one of the biggest guys on the defense.
Bigger players on the defense, yeah. So we had, you know, 5'9 wrestlers at D-line and, you know, linebackers who were tough. But, you know, size-wise, we just could not match up against BHS. So I think their O-line went 6'4", 6'5", across the board. And they just ran the ball at will on us. And playing at Bakersfield is a challenging, historic field to play at.
In what ways was it challenging? Besides the big monsters across.
Most of the refs' children probably went to BHS. but they get a lot of favorable calls down there, which is okay. They get the home field advantage.
I've heard many stories. You're not the first to tell me stories about how somehow there's flags thrown, you know, on some of these Clovis Fresno schools.
Correct. Physically, they beat us that game, and they won fair and square and went on to win the Valley.
Talking with Josh Mattson, a 1991 graduate of Clovis West and played at Stanford. All right, so when you would play against Clovis High, so back then it was just you and Clovis High, right?
So Clovis High, all Clovis week, Clovis West versus Clovis High.
So what was that like, right? So obviously it's been a tradition, you know, since Clovis West opened, but what was all Clovis week like for you?
Lunches and rallies every day and everything leading up to that Friday night game to where the Clovis community comes out and supports you. And there were 8,000 to 10,000 people at that game. Mm. Sold out, loud, and it was, you know, you prepped all season to play against Clovis and beat them.
Was Coach Tim Simons a coach at Clovis there?
Yeah.
Did you, like, I don't know. Let me find the Clovis High jacket here.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. They're right behind you. All right. I don't want to spook you. It's right behind you. So, like, did you guys? I mean, hate's a strong word, right? Did you despise them? I mean, what?
Strongly dislike them just because of the rivalry. But these were best buddies I grew up with.
Well, you mentioned that, right? Some would go to Clark.
Right.
Some would go to Kasner. So you're playing against some friends, right?
Yeah, best friends on the other team, and so it was that sibling rivalry, so to speak, to where you wanted to win that game.
How did you do your senior year? How'd that game play out?
Let me start with junior year. We won.
Okay, there you go. All right.
Senior year, they beat us. And that's when they had a solid team. And then Keith Poole and, you know, a lot of the great players from Clovis High were on that team. So they got us our senior year. They had prepped and knew how to stop the wing tee. It was the last game of the year.
Were you same year as Keith Poole? You both 91?
Yeah, but you were ahead of him.
You're here. Okay, yeah. You're ahead. All right, so he's 92. So wing tee offense, what part did you play? Obviously, you're a defensive guy too, but what part did you play on offense?
I was a running back by the quarterback, and then we had two wings on each side by the tight ends. Great offense for high school. Misdirection, and if you don't have the size, it's deception and 4 or 5 yards a pop, and hopefully spring one.
Is there a play you remember in high school specifically? Like what play pops out, either by you or by one of your teammates? And
oh boy, too many plays to count. I'm trying to think against Bakersfield. You know, I think they went up on us 24-0. We came back, you know, stayed in it. I think scored, went 24-8, got the second 2-point conversion, had the ball again, marching, and then fourth quarter, and I think that just the clock ran out on us. But I was proud of our team for not giving up. We were down big and knew, you know, this was probably our last high school football game. But kept playing until the final whistle. So that's probably a memory that sticks with me from high school.
Did you guys practice right there on the same field where they practice today? Right there on that side? Do you remember where you practiced?
At Clovis West.
Yeah.
We practiced many times in the field inside the track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's changed over the years, right? That's the same place where you guys practice. So I want to go back to Coach Wahlberg a bit. I mean, you learn different things from different coaches, right? Just different aspects of what it means to be a man. But like, basketball is different than football in a lot of ways. Basketball, you're more exposed, right? You don't have, you can't, there's no helmets, there's no pads to protect
your
you, right?
Your expressions are evident, yeah.
Evident, including the coaches. What are some things that you learned from Coach Wahlberg or playing basketball at that time?
Yeah, his pillars, I would say, would be hustle, discipline, and teamwork and effort. It was cross country with the basketball. We ran and ran and ran, and probably in the best shape of my life. But we were going to press the whole game. Probably didn't have the athleticism of other teams, but press the whole game and would just wear them out.
And we had a nice, fun, gosh, was that during Christmas time? Texting back and forth because my mom, no, I think it was around February or March, my mom was moving out of her house into a different location. And she came out, my brother was in town at that time, and she kept everything. My mom was one of those. And so she literally brought out a huge box and plopped it in front of us and said, okay, you guys do whatever you want to do with these because I can't take it to my new place. And it was all sports, mostly sports related, right? Bringing out clips of the Dynuma Sentinel, Reilly Exponent, and Fresno B, and programs. Again, my mom kept everything,
right.
And a bunch of Fresno B, articles that I would save. And there was one of you, right? You made the Fresno B a few times as basketball, and I texted you some screenshots. So, yeah, check this out. Look, I guess you were a basketball player. So that was a lot of fun. Do you show highlights? Do your kids, especially McKay, know what you accomplished athletically or what?
This was VCR.
Yeah.
I think I may have a few high school highlights on VCR and maybe even college on VCR. But this was pre-internet, and so digital age had not arrived yet. I don't know. Besides, there's one clip on the internet of an interception at Stanford.
We're going to talk about that later.
In the bowl game. That's, yeah. I think, the only thing on the web that exists. This was a long time ago.
Number 45, right?
That's it.
I think there's some other pictures out there, right? There's pictures to prove that you were, and there's stats, right? I saw six career
stats
interceptions.
Stats are there, right?
All right, we're going to take a break in a couple minutes, but I want to know about your recruitment at a high school, football recruitment. Obviously, it looks way different than what it is today. We're going to get into that too after the break. But how did your football recruitment start? A coach came and saw a practice, heard about you, and watched a practice, or maybe there was a phone call. How did that even begin with you?
Yeah, great question. It is very different today. My senior year, Coach Churchill knew a offensive line coach at Stanford. Comes in, assesses the team, and gives this coach a call saying, hey, you might want to check out a couple guys on my team I'm coaching. New team, I'm new in Clovis. And I was one of those players, and so that coach came down and watched a few games. BYU, I'd gone to a camp before my senior year, and had a good camp, and then they recruited me off and on. I didn't hear much from them during the season, it used to be just letters back then and maybe an occasional phone call. Didn't hear much from them without maybe they got the guys they wanted. But Oregon and UCLA and Stanford were kind of the ones that were persistent with. You'd get a letter in the mail, hey, good luck this week. We'd love to have you. Here's a little bit of information about University of Oregon. But Stanford was every week, and that coach came to three games. He came to a few basketball games in the winter. And then, just with proximity to home and with it being the Pac-10 back then, being, hey, this is mom and dad could come to the games. You're playing in the Rose Bowl against UCLA. You're playing SC. Education was phenomenal. Hey, what is there to – you can't beat this opportunity. So sat down, talked with my parents and say, this is unique. Do it. And so it was basically a phone call. I'm interested. They offered fax to school.
Fax.
Your national letter of intent. Yeah. I remember signing it maybe on a February, my senior year, and faxing it back to them. And that was how you committed. It was very different.
Was it an exciting time? Was it burdensome? Or how would you describe what
exciting.
You went through?
Yeah, absolutely exciting. These are opportunities you hope for growing up as a kid playing in Clovis. And Clovis does an awesome job exposing you to these are possibilities. play every sport in elementary school. Play what you want to in intermediate, high school. You're going to have the best coaches around. Facilities are amazing. So, hey, this is preparing you for the next step.
All right. We're definitely going to get into your time at Stanford and following your kids' athletic careers as well. We're going to take a break here. More with Josh Mattson on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right. Final segment. This show has absolutely flown by, Central Valley Sports Report. Thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate you. I love stories. If you guys have listened to me for a while, I love stats. I love talking about the games, breaking them down, talking to coaches. But I love stories most of all, and I think you guys do too. You know, we all have different athletic experiences. Some go to a higher level. Some play college. Some stop right after high school, play some recreational sports. But very few make it professionally. But that's why high school sports, to me, is a special time in everybody's life. We got Josh Mattson here sitting next to me. He's on his son, McKay, is a star player at Clovis North. He also played at Stanford, talking about Josh. And we were getting into how different recruiting was back then to how it is now. And he ended up at Stanford. But before that, you took your two-year mission, correct?
So back then, the age was 19 when I could leave on a mission. So I actually went and played my freshman year at Stanford.
Okay.
They knew that going in. So Denny Green was the head coach at the time. So, hey, we'd love to have you. We'll just put pause for 2 years and welcome you back when you come back. So played my freshman year, left for 2 years, went to Mexico, Tampico, Mexico, for 2 years, loved it, and then came back. And during that time, Denny Green had taken the job with the Minnesota Vikings and took most of his staff. And then in comes the man, Bill Walsh, who was a legend in his in the Bay Area and worldwide in NFL, was the coach my 2 years I was on my mission, plus my sophomore year after I returned, and then stepped down after that, and then Tyrone Willingham, my final 2 years of college.
So did you have an aha moment at Stanford, right? The difference between high school football, and then you said you played your freshman year, and then 2 years on your mission, and then back for three. Do you have an aha moment, like how fast the game was, or maybe you got hit really hard, or you delivered a hit? Like, was there a moment like, oh, yeah, this Division I football, first of all, it's tough, right, but I kind of like it, right? Did you have one of those moments?
Sure. I would think back to my freshman year. We played the University of Washington at home. They were the number one team in the nation. Steve Entman was a defensive lineman.
Oh,
was massive.
Incredible defensive line.
Yeah. So I played in that game against Napoleon Kaufman and Heward and these guys who were phenomenal. And that, man, this is a good team. This is fast. And then we played Notre Dame at home that year. And Jerome Bettis and Rick Meyer and, NFL legends who, like.
Did you hit Jerome Bettis?
Yes.
Where'd you hit him?
He wore number 6, and it looked about this big on him. But you hit Jerome Bettis low.
You have to.
He was the bus for a reason, yeah. So I think these are men out here. And it was an 18-year-old. You're coming in and thinking this game is fast. And playing against Jonathan Ogden later on from UCLA and Keyshawn Johnson from USC. And just it was a special time.
And you ended up playing safety, right? That was your yep. spot on the defensive side.
Yeah, I was a free safety, but we kind of ran cover too, so would interchange free and strong and rotate in the back. But, I was listed as a free safety.
I want to talk about that interception in the bowl game in just a second, but what was the hardest hit you ever delivered or got hit? Is there? I know I'm throwing these questions. I'm just curious. Like you mentioned Bettis, right? You got to go low on that guy.
Played at Wisconsin 1 year, and I remember they ran a special route and brought it back across the middle, but the receiver didn't see me coming.
Ooh.
And hit him with what would have probably been an ejectable hit it right now. You wanted to deliver a ball.
You come across my lane, yeah.
Yeah, you wanted to dislodge the ball. But helmet-to-helmet contact was okay back then. And I remember that hit was – they're the hits where you just don't feel it physically.
Yeah.
That was fun.
All right. So Stanford, was it your senior year, 96, right? Your final year, you play Michigan State.
Correct, yeah.
In the Sun Bowl. So that's one of the few clips to prove that you played college football that right. is out there. You guys can Google it. I did yesterday. It was in the first quarter, intercepted a pass on your own 21-yard line, ran about 29 yards, and you lateraled it, right, at the 50-yard line to Leroy Pruitt.
Yeah.
And he took it to the house for the first score of the game. All right, so
let me tell you about Leroy.
All right.
He came in as a wide receiver, little 5'9 guy from Missouri, fast as can be. Switches him over to DB, and so we played together for 2 years in the secondary as he was starting corner, I was a safety. And he made a deal to me. He said, hey, if you ever get a pick and I'm close by to you, give it to me because I've never scored. And so it just – I didn't even think during that game. Made the interception, got to the 50, saw Prue to my left. There was a lineman coming to tackle me, so I lateraled to him, and he took it down the sideline to score. So it was a special moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, I encourage you guys, go back and look at that clip because no one was celebrating more than you, right? You were jumping all over him, I think that just shows what kind of a teammate you were, right? Like you felt – probably more joy, right?
Absolutely.
Letting your guys
absolutely.
Score instead of you.
That was a special time. So I remember, and the opposing coach was Nick Saban. So I am 1-0 and undefeated against Nick Saban in my life.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. You think Coach Saban knows that? You think if we went up to Coach Saban today, you say, hey, do you remember 1996
you know, he
Sun
will
Bowl?
Because one of my teammates is Stanford Steve on ESPN.
Okay.
Steve yeah. Coughlin. And so they do College Game Day together, and he reminds Saban often of that. Cause
no way.
Steve was on that team. Said, hey, we beat you guys 38-0. You know, we're 1-0 against you in our career. So he would remember.
Oh, that's awesome. This football community, right? You never know, right?
You never know.
All right, so time at Stanford. Did you have aspirations to play in the NFL? Did you expect to get drafted? Were some teams talking to you or talking to your coach, or how did that look?
Yeah, there were some teams. There was, scouts come around and you have a pro day, and I think the Jets had talked to me, and maybe the Niners locally, and the Raiders were in Oakland at the time and locally, you know. But on draft day, you know, there's seven rounds, and day one went by nothing, day two went by nothing, and kind of figured, hey, you know, maybe the Sun Bowl was my last game, and if it was. Great career. Did end up having a tryout with the Raiders for a 3-day mini camp. And you think you're making some good plays. You're getting a lot of time on the field. Meanwhile, they just signed a few all-pro safeties, and the veterans are sitting on the sidelines. And it comes at day three, and like, hey, thanks for your time here. we're gonna move on, and we got to whittle this roster down to 53 men, and we're going to go a different direction. So... I was okay with that. I was ready to move on and finish a couple classes and then start applying to graduate school.
So there was no practice squad back then, or was there thoughts of that, what do you remember?
But that was never an option.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think they maybe had four or five guys on the practice squad, but typically reserve that for quarterbacks or wide receivers. Yeah.
Were there any guys that were like, hey, tough luck, good job? Like some teammates, right?
Yeah,
you mentioned Tim Brown was there.
Yeah,
and
Eric Turner was an all-pro safety. You know, he's since passed away, but. They were encouraging you. Yeah, work on this and read it this way. And when they the timing is so precise in the NFL, the quarterback puts the ball right there, 2 inches away from your hands. And it's Tim Brown was a wide receiver, so had a few opportunities to try to cover him. And it was
how'd that work out?
You
did okay. I bet you did
okay.
Yeah,
he did well.
Oh, he did well.
I think maybe had a pass breakup, but he would be one to say, hey, you know what? When you see my hips do this, make the adjustment. And so these guys are professionals for a reason.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great. All right. So that ends, and then you need a couple more classes at Stanford, and then you go to
finished that
medical
up,
school.
Graduated, went to the University of Louisville for medical school in Kentucky. 4 years of school, and then 4 years of anesthesia residency. Finished in 2008, and then first job back here in Clovis, and I think we're here to stay for a while.
Here for a while. All right. And so just remind me of of obviously Loewy, who's been on the show too, which mm-hmm. is awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, BYU doing track and field, right?
Yep.
And obviously McKay, we're going to get to him in just a second, and three others, right?
Yes, yeah, so our oldest son, Keenan, is a junior at BYU, construction management major, loves it. And I think because of him, Rich Brazil recruited him in high school to be a thrower. And so we would drag our other children to watch Keenan perform in these meets. And so Loewy watches him throw the discus, and he teaches McKay at home, you know, technique for shot put. And so I give Keenan, our oldest son, a lot of credit for helping teach his younger siblings, you know, the intricacies of being a thrower in track.
And you got a couple little ones too.
Yeah, so Liza Jane is a freshman at Clovis North, cheerleader. And then our youngest son, Bennett, is sixth grade at Mountain View.
So McKay, double winner then in the shot put and discus last year, and Valley champion, scored three touchdowns in the game against Central, which was awesome. I remember each run that he made.
Yeah,
probably
yeah,
you
yeah,
did too.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this first. So watching your kids play sports, I know you're on the sidelines. You're the team doctor for Clovis North, so you're there. You're watching the action. What's going on inside of you? Because you're, like, out from the outside, Josh, I'm going to be honest, like, you're a pretty calm guy, right? So, in the inside, what's really going on?
It's that fire still burns, and you feel the emotions, and you want your kids to succeed. You want them to be a good teammate. You want them to play the game right. But it brings you great joy as a parent to watch your child excel at something they've worked and made the effort to succeed at, so. It's rewarding, as my wife and I just, you know, were chatting last night, like, these are magical times. We're going to enjoy this ride, you know, while we have our children and different events, and our son had a soccer game at 8 a.m. this morning, and then, you know, had to work for a little bit, so these are just, it's special, and so you take great joy in watching your children succeed at something they put their time into.
So McKay is named after somebody pretty special to you,
yeah,
right? There's
yeah.
there's a tons of McKays right now
right.
in Clovis Unified for a reason. But what was your guys' reasoning?
Yeah, we grew up down the street from the Christensen family. So Steve and Vicky Christensen and their children, close family friends. And my younger brother, Rick, is the same grade as McKay Christensen.
So 93, right?
94.
Right. 94,
right,
okay.
Yeah. And so we, my senior year, McKay had played freshman football at Clovis West, and they bring the younger kids up for the playoffs to get experience. And he comes into the Porterville game, or game, quarterfinal game, and scores two touchdowns. And so I'm looking at this kid's a freshman, you know, one of a great family friend. Like, I think I just lost my job as a running back in the Wing T offense. He goes on to have, obviously, a phenomenal career at Clovis West and beyond in the pros in baseball. But a special man and a great friend. And so when my wife was pregnant with our third child, knowing it was going to be a son, we both thought, hey, how does McKay Mattson sound? She said, hey, this is great. Let's do it. So my wife, she's always had the role. She carries the child for 9 months. She gets full naming rights.
Sure.
I get some recommendations. She gets full naming rights. So most of the children are names that she came up with.
Yeah, we did that too. I have three daughters, three for three. Georgie is our oldest, and I got some naming rights. I got some I got Alex
there
for our middle daughter.
Love that.
And then Ruthie is named after my wife's grandma, great grandma actually. So yeah. So yeah, the all names are right. They fit the personality.
Yes, they do.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Right, they fit the personality growing up with their name.
Yeah, they do. It's amazing. Yeah. So we named our son because of McKay Christensen.
So you've obviously had your own journey to play college football. McKay's journey seems a little bit similar, but the recruiting process is different. You had a really awesome trip to Oregon, and then he received an offer from Oregon, has the BYU, has all the Ivy League schools, UCLA. I think he's up to like 25 or something like that. But walk us through that. What's it been like for you as a dad walking alongside your son and his college choice?
Yeah, it's really special. So most of the interaction happens on Twitter or X. Coaches will reach out, you know, direct message McKay, and he shares most of this with us at home. You know, And we ask him every day, hey, any contact with coaches today? He said, yeah, you know, coach from Deshaun Foster sent me a FaceTime message like, hey, love to have you at UCLA. The BYU running backs coach was at the Central game. He flew down on the bye week to come watch him play, which was pretty special of him to do that. And then we went up to Oregon last weekend when they played Ohio State, and, you know, epic electric stadium. All those are kind of his final three, BYU, Oregon, and UCLA, and all very unique and very, you know, special in their own right. And it's going to be hard for him to make a decision as to, you know, what are, and so we've kind of taken him, we have three more times where we're going to go to BYU mid-November. We're going to go to the USC-UCLA game, and then Oregon hosts Washington at the final game of the year, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. And so he just said, you know, I'll have a feeling or a thought in my head or in my heart, which is going to tell me this is where I want to go. So we're trying to expose him, give him every opportunity to make an educated decision, and he's not rushed into it. I think he's really done his homework, and it will be a fun time when he makes that choice as to where he wants to continue his career. And those three schools have both allowed him to do track if he desires, and so we've met with the three track coaches at the different schools, and they said, hey, we know, you know, football kind of takes priority, but we'll work around you, and if you want to throw in college, I'll meet you at 9 o'clock in the workout, or I'll meet you at 6 p.m. in the ring to get some throws in, and they've all been very accommodating.
Amazing. Josh, we only got another minute here, if you believe it or not. I got to ask you this personal question. Obviously, you're a very talented family. You got some great singing ability in your family, too. I know that. Do you have a hidden talent that you've brought into this family besides football?
Not singing. Yeah. My wife would be the first to tell you that. Not vocally. Hopefully the biggest cheerleader of my kids.
There you go.
Would be my talent. I love cheering them on and all that they do.
And you've done a fantastic job with that. You've raised some great kids. You're very, you know, very blessed man. And appreciate getting to know you over the last few years, Josh. And wish nothing but the best for you guys and your family. And whatever choice McKay knows, it's going to be the best one. When the time is right, he's going to let everybody know. So yeah, appreciate you coming on. Appreciate your friendship as well. So have a great rest of the week.
Paul, thank you for all you do for these high school athletes. This is an amazing show. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, First String Sports, Jeremiah Cunningham for producing the show, Brandon Nagel, Matt Lowe, and Josh Mattson. Have a great rest of the week, everyone, and talk to you soon.